tribal members do get counted for the 2010 census.
The 2010 census is the shortest format in history, but will tell us more than just how many neighbors we have, and being part of the Winter Olympics without leaving the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Borough Assembly meets Thursday night, and we'll discuss a land exchange proposal from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. The trust is interested in trading about 20,000 acres in and around various Southeast Alaska communities for 50,000 acres in the Tongass National Forest near Prince of Wales Island. About 350 acres of the trust land lies west of Skagway and along the Tyre River, but has remained undeveloped under the trust because of local interest in keeping it wild. More information about the proposed exchange is on the Skagway Borough website in the meeting packet for Tuesday night's regular assembly meeting. Assembly members will also review the capital improvement project's priority list, which is due late next week. They'll likely propose other additions, like the Alaska Safe Routes to Schools program. The Skagway Assembly meets in chambers at 7 p.m. on February 4th. According to new estimates from the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development, Skagway's population increased by 19 people in 2009, while the Haines population decreased by 36. This at a time when Southeast Alaska as a whole saw very little population increase at 0.3% compared to the state's overall rate of 1.5% change from 2008 to 2009. Alaska altogether hasn't seen such a rate of increase since the very early 1990s. Every 10 years, the U.S. Census Bureau counts everyone in the country. The last census in 2000 showed Skagway with three more people than its estimated 2009 population of 865, and Haines with 106 more people than its estimated 2009 population of 2,286. The 2010 census is already underway, but the numbers that will come from it will not just tell us how many neighbors we have. Roald Helgeson is president and CEO of Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, one of the many health, social service, transportation, and housing organizations that receive federal funding based on census population data.
Well, very specific to tribal health services, for us, many of our formulas for funding are based on census data. For instance, there is, within the state of Alaska, we join in one compact or government-to-government relationship with the Indian Health Service, actually the Department of Health and Human Services. And one of the formulas that we use, 30% of that formula is based upon the most recent census data. If there are changes in that census data, specifically if we are undercounted, that could affect up to 30% of our funding as that's allocated, or very specifically new funding coming into the state of Alaska, into the tribal health system.
Alaska Natives and American Indians have the highest undercounts of any ethnic group, with an estimated 12.2% of Natives missed in the 1990 census, compared to just 1.2% for all Americans.
In the past, we've had a chronic undercount of our Alaska Native people and our Native American people across the entire United States. We're making a strong effort this year, working with our tribes, tribal organizations, tribal health organizations, and housing authorities to get the word out and for people to be counted in this census. Our purpose and intent is there are several funding sources that end up being tied back to census information. So being counted, getting counted, and assuring that we're applying those resources back to our communities is very important.
Jacqueline Johnson-Pata is a Tlingit from Juneau who is now Executive Director of the National Congress of American Indians. She calls the counting of Native Americans critical, since federal money is distributed to Native villages based on these figures. The numbers also help set policy for the next decade and help areas know when to build certain facilities and improve transportation. This year, the census will have one of its shortest forms in history, with just 10 questions. And new this year is a place for people who identify themselves as Alaska Native to list the tribe they're enrolled with. With this information, the Census Bureau can produce specialized reports for the nation's 564 federally recognized tribes.
I can tell you what I know about the upcoming census form. It's to be an abbreviated form this year. They promise us, I believe it's 10 questions, and it will only take a few minutes of time. I think actually what they're saying is 10 questions in 10 minutes. And it's coming in a variety of formats for those people in larger communities across Southeast Alaska. Will receive those by mail, and we encourage people to fill those out and return them. In some of our communities, actually, there will be census takers in those communities going door-to-door, assisting people in the completion of those forms. They promise us that it will take only a small amount of time to get them complete. The information will be safe and secure, and that there are very specifically, there are some questions they're not going to be asking, to my understanding, that they won't be asking for Social Security numbers or any personal data in that way.
Population counting in rural Alaska happens now through April, with community members visiting homes to help people fill out the forms.
I think for us here in our organization, we have a lot of partnerships with different granting agencies in addition to our tribal health services, whether that's CDC, whether that's HRSA. And we know so much in several of our communities that HRSA has been a valuable partner, very specifically there in Haines. In Clark-Juan, HRSA has been a very strong partner for search as we've expanded health services, and being able to tie back the users of the system and the community and the effect on the community is important. So getting an accurate count, making sure that all of our people get counted, it's critical to our funding sources.
The torch for this year's Winter Olympics in Vancouver flew over the Lynn Canal last November, near the beginning of its 106-day torch relay throughout Canada. But that's not the closest we'll get to the Winter Games, since Haines is hosting its own Winter Olympics this weekend. Haines Winter Olympics began about 10 years ago, inspired by a record snowfall. This weekend's Olympiad is sponsored by the Southeast Alaska State Fair, and Director Kelly Hostetler says it's just for fun.
It's just something for the community to do, kind of right in the middle of winter. It's not a fundraiser. There's a dollar entrance fee to each event, and then that money goes to the winner. So we're going to have hot chocolate, and we're going to have a bonfire and roast hot dogs, so the Klondike will be open, just for everybody to get out and see what it's all about.
Haines Olympics started as just a hockey tournament, and slowly other events were added.
They had turkey bowling. They had an ice skating demonstration, a ski race, a snowshoe race.
This year's Olympics will have some of those original events, like a biathlon, a snowshoe race, and turkey bowling. Yes, turkey bowling.
Apparently, you'll have three game hens, and you just bowl and you try to knock down the pins.
A few new events are added, too. For example, a kid sled dog race.
We're going to have snowshoe disc golf. We're going to have the ski race. We're going to have the kids' ski race. We'll have a BB gun biathlon where participants will ski on our ski loop, which hopefully we'll be able to get that tracked, and then grab the gun, shoot at a target, and take off on another loop. And then we'll have a snowshoe race. And then over in Ravens Arena, we're going to have a, it's going to be a kid and a dog sled pulling contest. Dogs are going to pull the kids on their sleds.
And Haines Golf Association member Tommy Scoville's golf challenge.
We are putting together a Winter Olympics golf challenge. It'll have three events. There'll be a 50-yard hit closest to the pin, and you'll get three balls to see how close you can get to the flag. And then we've got a net that has six holes in it with different scores, and you'll be trying to chip into those, and you'll keep your score, how many you get in each of the holes. And then we have a bigger net where you're going to try and pitch into the middle, and you'll get five balls, with the last ball being a money ball, which is worth 5 points. And everybody will get their own little Olympic scorecard, and they'll keep their score. And each event will have a winner, and then we'll have the overall winner.
Golf balls, clubs, and AstroTurf to hit from are provided, and any skill-level golfer is encouraged to join for $1.
I thought, well, that'd be kind of fun to get more people into golfing so that this summer we can progress, and the association's going to plan a lot more to get people in town involved with golf. It's a life sport.
Haines Olympic Games are at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds this Saturday, February 6th. Opening ceremonies are at 11 a.m. at Payson's Pavilion, and organizers say costumes are encouraged. And like the real Olympics, there will be medals.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have the lighting of the torch. We'll have someone sing the national anthem, and then the games will begin.
Just about the only thing the fair doesn't have yet is a figure skater. Really, if you can do a figure skating demo, call the Southeast Alaska State Fair offices. Sportsmen and women can sign up for events the day of the Olympics, this Saturday at 11 a.m., or contact Greg Schlachter in advance for 3-on-3 hockey, or Tommy Scoville for golf. People who can help by volunteering, as well as those who need more information, can call the fair offices at 766-2476. I'm Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. It's your news. If you have an idea for a story, email us. We're at news@khns.org.